The United States Supreme Court in Brushaber versus Union Pacific Railroad Company had already ruled the federal income tax void because Congress had unconstitutionally delegated legislative power to the Secretary of the Treasury to write the law concerning the administrative and enforcement procedures. It was a blatant and unconstitutional breach of the separation of powers, and in any case, the Constitution does not grant Congress the ability to delegate its powers to anyone or anything or any entity. That is why there are so many lies and so much subterfuge involved in the administration and enforcement of the taxes by the so-called Internal Revenue Service, the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms. And who knows what the Secret Service does? I sure don't, besides protect the president. They have something to do with the counterfeiting laws. But I haven't ever studied them. In fact, I had no idea that they would even come up in any of this until I began to search for the legality and the lawfulness of the Internal Revenue Service and the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms. We published several stories revealing, headline stories, revealing the results of our research into the history of and the laws concerning the Internal Revenue Service and the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms. We also published a lawful public notice, which many of you have seen, in issues number 14, number 15, and number 16 of Veritas National Newspaper, which enumerated certain facts discovered in Dan Meador's and my research. The law, ladies and gentlemen, allows us to presume the content of the public notice to be presumed facts, since neither the Internal Revenue Service or the United States government has ever denied any of the facts thus presented, published as legal public notices three times in three separate issues of Veritas. You see, it's not so hard. And now they want us bad. In light of all that I have told you so far, ladies and gentlemen, we filed FOIA requests asking the IRS, that's the Internal Revenue Service, for specific documents which specifically require us to file and pay the so-called income tax. They could not and did not produce any such documentation, but instead sent me a copy of an old 1040 which I had filed before I understood what a 1040 form really was, and before I had mustered the guts to stop filing based upon the information I had seen in Majesty 12 and from my research which verified that the tax is in fact a criminal fraud against the American people. The implication was that the 1040s which I had filed in the past was their only authority. their only authority. You see, the law says when you submit a Freedom of Information Act request, they must furnish the exact documents that you specifically request, or they must tell you that no such document exists, or they must give you a reason under the law, and there's several reasons under the law why they cannot furnish you with such documentation. Well, they furnished me with the document that they claim was their authority. In other words, since I had signed the form stating that I was a taxpayer when I didn't know that I wasn't under the fraud, they take that as volunteering to pay the income tax. And that's what they mean by the voluntary income tax. You've all heard them say that many times. The interpretation of the Internal Revenue Service was that since I had filed previously, it was an admission that I was required to file. Hitler, Adolf Hitler, would have loved that kind of reasoning. We also filed Freedom of Information Act requests asking the Internal Revenue Service for specific documents which gave the Internal Revenue Service the authority to conduct an investigation of a citizen of the state of Arizona. The Internal Revenue Service could not and did not produce any such documentation. We noticed Special Agent Shupnik and Assistant United States Attorney Weinrip by mail to produce their credentials and documentation of their authority to conduct such an investigation. Guess what? They're required by law to furnish their credentials and authority when asked. They refused. Why did they refuse, ladies and gentlemen? Because they cannot, because no such documents exist. We then learned through friends on the inside who were helping us of a secret agreement between the individual states of the Union and the Internal Revenue Service. Took us a long time to find out how to get a copy, but we got a copy. We obtained an unredacted copy. Most people get a copy that's redacted because they don't want you to be able to read it. Redacted means they take and line out with heavy black ink anything they don't want you to read. Well, it's not a classified document, has nothing to do with national security, and it's supposed to be available to the public. Well, we obtained an unredacted copy and found that it is, in fact, ladies and gentlemen, an agreement between the Internal Revenue Service and the individual state granting jurisdiction to the Internal Revenue Service to require federal employees who are state citizens and residents of the states to file and pay the so-called federal income tax. Did you hear what I just said? If they have jurisdiction, and if what they're doing is lawful, and they have the authority to require us to file and pay income taxes, why, ladies and gentlemen, do they have to have a special agreement with the individual states in order to require their own federal employees who do not live within federal jurisdiction to file and pay the income tax? No session of jurisdiction over these people was granted by the state legislature as required by law. It was all done sneaky and secret by some state bureaucrat who arbitrarily, on their own, decide to go ahead with the agreement as proposed by the Internal Revenue Service. If the so-called Internal Revenue Service has the jurisdiction and authority to require citizens and residents of the states to file and pay the so-called income tax, why do they have to have a special secret agreement between the Internal Revenue Service and the states to tax their own federal employees who live and work outside the jurisdiction and authority of the United States government? Can you answer that? Of course you can't. Doesn't even make any sense, does it? We filed suit. We, Annie Mordhorst Cooper, my wife, and I, we filed suit against the United States government, the Internal Revenue Service, Attorney General Janet Reno, United States Attorney for the District of Arizona, Janet Napolitano, and many others, demanding the court simply order the defendants to either produce the documentation that we had asked for through the Freedom of Information Act that allows the IRS to tax and or investigate a citizen of any state of the Union, or admit that no such documentation exists, and several other points of law. It's a very simple suit, ladies and gentlemen. The law is clear. Freedom of Information Act is very clear. It tells them exactly what they have to do and how they have to do it and how they can get out of doing it. And they won't do any of it. The suit has been active for almost 3 years, and the federal judge has refused to order the defendants to obey the law and produce their authority or admit that it does not exist. The attorney for the defendants, Katz, spelled K-A-T-Z, another ADL member, has slipped up and admitted in documents that he or she, I don't know if it's a he or a she, because I've never seen that person, admitted in documents that he or she filed in this case with the court that no such documentation, thus no such authority, exists in the Phoenix District. Now this suit is still awaiting adjudication in United States District Court in Phoenix, Arizona. The government and the Anti-Defamation League wants us in prison or dead before the judge is forced to rule in our favor, as he must if he obeys the law. He can't get out of it. All he can do is just try and wait it out until they get us, or he's forced to rule. Recent experience throughout this country, ladies and gentlemen, tells us emphatically that the courts have been corrupted beyond belief and that the law is more than frequently ignored. People who work in courtrooms all the time tell me that the biggest liars who ever sit in court, listen to this, careful, this is what they tell me, court clerks, bailiffs, people who work within the court system, tell me that the biggest liars that ever appear in court is the prosecutor, police officers, and law enforcement people who testify, and judges. Now, number one would probably be defendants, because most defendants are probably criminals. But most criminals do not testify in court, if they're smart. And besides that, pro se litigants are all but ignored by federal judges who pass the cases to clerks to handle, and the judges usually wash their hands of the whole thing. Don't want to mess with us non-lawyer types. Ladies and gentlemen, I can assure you, and many people all across this nation know us very well. Very well. We have not committed any crime. We are not criminals. We are law-abiding, faithful and true citizens. But on June 18th, 1998, a United States Marshal came to the Trust headquarters in Eager, Arizona, to serve a summons for criminal trial in U.S. District Court in Phoenix, Arizona, on the legal fictions known as the names of my wife and I, all spelled in capital letters, in the fictional jurisdiction in which the marshal stood, which is not the lawful jurisdiction. Big difference. We told him that we are not the legal fictions named in the summons and ordered him off the trust property. I told him that he was trespassing and that he had no federal jurisdiction or authority within the territorial boundaries of the state of Arizona. He knew it. He knew I was right. And he obeyed me without any problems whatsoever. I wasn't armed. And folks, I'm no spring chicken anymore. If he wanted to subdue me with physical force, he probably could have done it. If he had authority and or jurisdiction, why did he not serve the papers, and why did he obey my order that he get off trust property immediately? Why did he stand in the middle of the road And why did he not respond to my question that if you have jurisdiction and authority, why did you obey me? Why are you standing in the road? And why did he leave when I told him to leave? Ladies and gentlemen, it's because I'm right. You see, most people would never think of that. Most people don't understand what the law is, and they volunteer to be served or to go to jail or be tried or all of these other things that are done unlawfully all over this country every single day. Most of you don't know that when the Internal Revenue Service seizes property and you think that they have placed a lien on that property and can do it by law, that no lien has been executed, no lien has been made, no due process has been forthcoming. No judge has issued any order, period. There is no lien, in fact. They go to your county recorder and they record a notice of lien when, in fact, no such lien exists. It's a fraud. You see, to get a lien on someone's property, you must go to court. And the person upon whose property you intend to levy must be notified of the date to appear in court to defend him or herself under the American legal system. The Internal Revenue Service never does that. They just make out a piece of paper, says notice of lien, take it down to your county recorder, file it, take it over to Mr. Sheriff, who doesn't know beans from anybody else because he was just one of us before he got elected too. Might be a great guy, might be a great sheriff, but he doesn't know. And so they give him the recorded instrument from the county recorder's office, and the sheriff goes out with the Internal Revenue Service agent and takes your property. If it's within a city, the city policemen do it with the Internal Revenue Service agent, not knowing they're helping him to steal your property unlawfully and illegally. Well, since no service was made, ladies and gentlemen, the court can take no action against us if the court obeys the law. But as we discovered with Waco, Texas, Ruby Ridge, and many other federal atrocities, the federal courts seldom obey the law. In fact, the marshal yelled at me from the road that if we did not appear in federal court in Phoenix, Arizona on July 1, 1998, a warrant will be issued for our arrest. Well, they can issue whatever they want. We will not appear as the court has no jurisdiction or authority over us as citizens of Arizona, and we will not allow an arrest to occur. We will stand and fight the Gestapo with all the means at our disposal. We will not be like the Jews of Europe or the Gypsies or the Poles or anyone else and gather our little belongings and march off peacefully to the boxcars, which will then carry us off to some labor camp prison somewhere. And in case you think I'm exaggerating, that's exactly what our prisons have become. Labor camps. And it's going to go more and more in that direction until we reach a point where prisons manufacturing goods and services with slave labor will completely do away with small business. You think China's competition, you ain't seen nothing yet. Not only that, ladies and gentlemen, but we will fight with all the means at our disposal any assault which may be mounted upon our property or persons. And our children will remain with us. They are not shields, as our enemies will claim, any more than children have been shields for families which have been attacked by despotism throughout history. You see, I've watched as some of you have let the Department of Children's Services, or whatever you call them, come to your door and steal your children right from under your eyes. You claim you love your children and you let them take them. No one takes my children but over my dead body. Allowing our children to disappear into the immoral and destructive government child care and foster molestation home industry run by the mind-controlling bogus psychology profession only to be abused and sexually assaulted for many years is a fate worse than death. and we simply will not allow such a thing to happen to our precious little girls. And you can call us whatever you want because of it. That's the reason, and that's the facts of it. The people in government today are morally bankrupt. In fact, they are Nazi jackbooted thugs of the worst SS Hitler stormtrooper type that ever lived upon the face of this earth. They have no ethics, morals, or respect for life, property, religion, or the law. The Nazis were socialists, and socialists are Nazis. Socialists are in complete control of the government of the United States of America right now, this moment, as I speak. Now, please understand and remember that we are not anti-government. We are not radical. We are not extremists. We are not fundamentalists. We're not crazy. We're not suicidal or anything else that we may be called. And believe me, we're going to be called a lot of names because they must demonize us in order to murder us. And that's the whole point of the thing. Whether we're arrested and thrown into prison and murdered in prison or murdered here where we stand, it doesn't make any difference. We will be murdered if they have their way. We are intelligent, law-abiding, reasonable people who have drawn our line in the sand. Our enemy will attempt to demonize us in order to obtain the public's permission to murder our whole family, just as they did the Weaver family and the Branch Davidians at Waco, Texas. I was sickened. I never thought I would hear so-called Christians whose ancestors fled the old world to escape religious persecution say, and I quote, "The Branch Davidians deserved what they got. They were just a bunch of religious fanatics," end quote. But I heard so-called Christians say exactly that over and over and over and over again, and they're still saying it today. My wife and I are not criminals. We're not child molesters. We're not bank robbers. We're not child abusers. We're not wife beaters or husband beaters or any other label that may be applied. If we are found dead, it will never be because we committed suicide. It will be cold-blooded murder, just as they have done in the past, just as they did at Ruby Ridge, the World Trade Center, Waco, and the Oklahoma City bombing. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, we are pro-government, lawful government, lawful constitutional Republican government as guaranteed to us in the Constitution for the United States of America. We know what the government is, and we know what the government is not. We know that the Constitution for the United States of America constitutes the lawful government, and anything or anyone outside its strictures, limits, and powers is operating unlawfully and are, in fact, outlaws. Traitors, if you will. We know that the Constitution was not penned by a bunch of doddering old men over 200 years ago who did not understand the complexities of the modern age. The Constitution was produced by the greatest collection of geniuses who have ever lived. It is the living supreme law of our land. It provides within the document itself the provisions for us to make any changes that we may deem necessary. And only a very few changes, known as amendments, have ever been made. Those changes are deletions wished for by the socialist communist Illuminati, have been rejected by the American people. And that fact necessitates the demonization of the Constitution and all of us who support it. Ladies and gentlemen, I have served my government all my life. All of my life I have served my government. I have never done anything else. I have been a member of the United States Air Force and the United States Navy. I served in two military branches of our country's military forces. I am a combat veteran of the Vietnam War. I fought as a river patrol boat captain in Vietnam, and I earned medals with the V for Valor. I took an oath to support and defend the Constitution for the United States of America against all enemies, foreign and domestic, and I can assure you that I intend to fulfill that oath until the day I die and after, if that is possible. What I have included in this broadcast is by no means the entirety of our legal position. It's barely the beginning. Only a few facts and questions that should get you thinking. We'll attempt to include much more through links from our web pages, which is harvest-trust.org. Now, folks, we hope to win this battle, although the odds in history tell us that we won't. If we win, then all America wins. If we lose, the subversive Illuminati socialists in government and the Anti-Defamation League will lose big time. And I mean, they will lose even if they win. You see, we're not afraid. I have engaged and fought better troops than any of the techno-spoiled brats they can or will ever field against us. Doesn't mean we're going to win. But I guarantee you, somebody's going to get hurt. In any case, whatever happens, we as a family will be free. Now you figure that out. And due to the sheer volume of our work that is in public hands, we will never, ever be forgotten. I can assure you that. You see, we'll be free if we win, and we'll be freer than any of you. And if we die in the process, we will still be freer than any of you. And it makes me very sad to know that all of you will still be enslaved by tyrants and despotism in a totalitarian socialist New World odor. And it really stinks, too. Unless you also draw your line and take your stand to fight the last battle for liberty and freedom, which is coming up shortly. And oh, I almost forgot, folks. If they need a negotiator to resolve the situation, send Lieutenant Colonel James Bogreitz. I would just love to see him coming up the hill to try and talk us to come down. Please, oh, please send me that Trojan horse. And in the meantime, for those of you who understand what I'm going to say next, please pray for us and keep going back to our web pages, which is harvest-trust.org. We will keep it updated, adding information, documenting, and sourcing our position within the law and the corrupted Illuminati puppets' despotic and tyrannical disregard and contempt for the law. And who knows? You may even become awakened and join the fight for liberty and freedom for all people, regardless of race, religion, or place of ancestral origin. And that's exactly what we should all be striving for, to complete the circle. And now that we're off the international broadcast, good night, ladies and gentlemen, and God bless each and every single one of you.
Dragnet, their job to enforce the law and preserve the safety of decent citizens. Decent citizens. Decent citizens. Dragnet.
You're listening to 101.1 FM Eager.